Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain, ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high, loud as the Georgia.
Talking about different parts of the body that there are some people in those schools don't want to talk about. I don't care what you do. You know, I don't care what you do. But is it right to deny my child to learn science, to learn math, my grandchild? Is it wrong as a black person to allow your child not to learn math, not to learn science, not to learn world history? Because right now, if you take a moment and watch the world channels, I do. It's a mess. It ain't been like this, they says, in 70 years almost, 60 years, the world, the mess that it's in, and the ones that's out of it are black Americans, the descendants, you know. When you take a moment, I was the person I was talking to, by the way. That's what made me upset. They hadn't even voted, but they hated Trump so much. I was trying to ask them. I said, your vote might help Karen Steele. You might help somebody. I mean, I don't care whether you vote, who you vote for president, but go vote. Don't tell me about what anybody is and hear what we did and what. And you didn't vote? Nobody in this household voted. That's funny. That's what I'm talking about. Y'all get on this radio and you get on your email and you talk stuff when you can truly take control of your local elections and your national. And I'm saying all this, y'all, to say that if you take a moment, because folks who are coming here, they understand world history. They understand poverty. They understand communism. I was looking at some television stations. It is interesting. I'm studying these people as they come in. And now you got that Vietnamese lady on the committee, the January 6th committee. And you got Benny Thompson up there talking. I'm not saying, well, I know one thing, Mississippi's in trouble, and I've never heard him talk about what he's going to do for Mississippi. They're down there buying, getting all the land, China and Australia and white folks, and all our land is going away. I would like for Benny Thompson to do an investigation of what's happening to black people's land down there and to call that black farmer and try to help him. I'm saying, you can do other things, but we got to make sure that we survive in this country because we did build the country, and we're giving up because of our pain. Because of, that's why they said we're suffering from post-trauma. Well, it's easy to fool us and to get to our emotions because of the trauma that we have experienced as a people and has never been dealt with. So everybody who come here, they'll use it, and then when they just on the edge of everything, they go to who they are. But they say, don't call me no Latinx, I'm a Latina. They keep saying, and y'all better watch it, it's very carefully. Everybody tell me they believe in family, they believe in God. I saw this, wasn't a Mexican, but it was another Spanish person, and one, maybe not. I saw two different ones, I got to tell you. One was an Indian. And it's interesting because they had the same conversation. And another one, I don't know, it was a brown person. And they were saying that they believe in family, they believe in God, hard work. That's what the girl said. And this man said, there are many opportunities, and I should have written all the name down, but I was like surfing, and when I ran up on him, I just got shocked that he would not say that. We work, we're coming, we work hard, we're a family, and we believe in this country. Now, they want to believe in America more than you do? Come on. And America is a land of opportunity, and we've come here, and it's not my fault that folks who here had opportunity have not taken opportunity. I'm just listening. I mean, y'all better hear some of this stuff. This stuff is deep. But because you're so stuck on one or two channels, and their job is to keep your brain in a hate thing that you can't hear anything. And he was saying that, and we believe in our God, and I believe, I don't know whether he's, I know he ain't no Christian, but he just probably used that word. Now, the other person, I believe that they are Christian. Are they of Christian faith? I don't know whether Catholicism or what, because a lot of them are Catholics, most of the Spanish-speaking people that might come over. And they were saying, well, we're gonna take over, and we're going to build, you know. We are service people. We're your doctors. One of them got there and said, we're your doctors. We take advantage of the nursing schools. We take advantage of the, and I'm listening to all this. And then when I listen to black folks talk, the voting right bill, what the hell? We passed the voting right bill, the right to vote and the right to pregnancy. That's all we got to talk about, because that's the sheet they been gave you for the week. And some of the folks who talk about abortion don't even have no children, so they don't even know what they're talking about. They don't like children anyway. I don't know, a woman right to choose, you know. That's their business. I'm not trying to get into whether you have right to choose, but that's our motto to talk about. All we got to talk about the right to vote and abortion. And let me tell you something, black people. You got to be very careful about how you kick the Constitution. Now, y'all say what y'all want to. Because most of our struggles have been, as we fought, we used the Constitution to come after them. And when you look at Frederick Douglass Harriet Tubman. I'm sure it was many others that you don't know their names, just like you know Dr. King, and you don't know many other folks. You know Malcolm, not know many other folks. And, you know, you get to know the spokesperson, and sometimes you don't know all the other people who were involved. But when Frederick Douglass pushed for the Emancipation Proclamation, as I told y'all before so many times, that was only a proclamation proclaiming. It wasn't the law until they did the amendment to the Constitution. That's why I tell you, 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment was for black people. And any black person who be talking what they want to do, and they're not, they don't know the Constitution or understand what we can do right here, how we need to be talking about education and economics. That's another thing they said. We believe in education and economics. Well, I read something in the paper. I think the name was Brooks. I might be missing the name. He was an educator. He passed away. And he had several children. And it just touched my heart because I understood. I was just reading all my papers yesterday. And one of the things one of his daughters said, they said that he believed in education and economics, and they had to go to school and things like that. And I was thinking in my head as I was reading that from Mr. Brooks, and I hope I'm saying his name right because I just read it in the paper last night as I was going through some of the papers I had missed. That's how we were, and that's how we are. But you got a generation of our young people that we are not telling that to. And there are people doing things. You're like doing stuff for yours, and you're not reaching out. And how we can help others. When you take, I told y'all last week about Urban Prep. And I told you that's because black men. And then when you see all these children running around here like animals, and you say, well, wait a minute, they got animals too. Don't fool yourself. But they are also building communities. And they got, when they got jobs for them, if they got businesses, they got jobs, they can hire them to go in the kitchen and do this and do that. Make them serve coffee or build some other stuff. Y'all know about the NGOs? Y'all hear that word? No, they're not telling y'all about. Do you know the ones that they've counted because they've caught almost 2 million people come across that border in invasion? 2 million. But guess they go to the NGOs. And most people they send back are the Haitians. Be clear on that. Those people that Biden them sending back are Haitians, and out of anybody that deserve to be here are Haitians. But you got these other folks go to NGOs. What an NGO? Non-government office. But they get money from the government. And they place these people. That's why you go around to these stores now, and they place two and three. You look at the swap out in terms of who's working. And not only have the NGOs, we can have NGOs. Come on, y'all tell me what black NGOs we have. Most of the non-governmental things are ran by other folks. It's either by Catholic charity people or all of these people who have come in here illegally have set up NGOs. And they have day labor. And most after they put the day labels out, then the day laborers usually either get to keep working. So you might begin to see that if you look around yourself. I mean, they be working too, putting that produce out. I was in the store the other day, and I was looking for something. He said, no, ma'am, you might not want that watermelon. That watermelon, from the South, I know you don't want to get a green watermelon. I already know that. But because I learned that from being down South. You get the yellow one because we said it was kissed by the sun. And I said, you want me to get that one because I've been kissed by the sun? He laughed. He said, you know that? I said, I was taught that. I'm a Southerner. But he sat down and explained it, and I'm looking at the other stuff. But we're not dummies. We just talk. We need to do this. We need to pool our resources, and we need to do that, and we need to do something. And it's really funny because how do you give up your power? I know y'all tired of me every Saturday to come in here. Sometimes I get tired, too. Because I see what's going on, and we get trinkets, and we get slogans, and we get this. I tell you this, man, I heard someone the other day on another one of my colleagues' show call in and playing, and I was surprised at him because I thought he was a little bit more intelligent than that. And he is intelligent. He just caught up. The situation we're in, Trump responsible for it. I said, God, dog. I don't care whether you like the man, but I can think that we had gas that was lower because we was doing our own gas. Y'all don't look at the fact that the gas was, the pipeline was cut off, that other folks was giving stuff you can't drill, or if you do this and that, and then you go to other countries and you go over there and beg for gas that's nasty than ours, and we be clapping while we paying all that. The groceries is up. That's why I was trying to get someone from the Black Farmers, the president of it. I'm not going to give up. And then I got an economist I'm going to bring on. So y'all can understand the flow of things. If the gas is high, the move of food around the country is high. That means diesel is high, all this stuff is high. And then when you get these other things, whatever the you go in the restaurant, you get mad because the price is up on the food, but they got to pay them people more money now, even though they get tips. They got to go down to, you go all the way down to the food chain. Then you got almost, it was 20-some food chains that was out of whack, that had been burned down or tore up. It was 20-something I told y'all a month ago. It's about 30 now. I got to find out, what are the food chain? Y'all don't understand. Those are the processing plants. Y'all not thinking about it? Y'all just going up in the store and seeing the chef half empty trying to figure out what the hell is going on. So when you see the problem, and then I think one burned down in Detroit a few weeks ago, or last week, and you got to ask the question, why, when you have these so-called progressive, we don't need to eat no meat, who are you to tell people? Well, you need to stop the gas, the cows from passing gas and messing up the planet. And then all of a sudden we had quite a few thousand cows dropped dead. Y'all didn't see that, did you? What am I saying? And your light bill going up. Your gas bill. My gas bill and light bill is high. We burn gas. We burn oil. Most things you got is made by petroleum. But y'all not knowing all that because they playing these games. Did y'all know 22, week before last, 22 of the people that works for the White House, not that they staff under him, but work for the White House, they quit because of racism. Man, folks will be talking this stuff. We have to be balanced when we're looking at this stuff. We cannot be one way. I don't care who it is. Whoever it is, we're going to have to say something. Democrat, Republican, Independent. The progressive don't mean what it used to be when we had Harold back in the 70s and the 80s. The communist, progressive mean communism now. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears. I got so much more to tell y'all, but I know I got to take a break in a minute. I got to take a break in a minute. And but there's a lot of things. We want to talk to you about education. It's the education, economic, and politics. So that's what I want to deal with today, because I wanted parents, you know, the parents are not involved in the schools anymore. Why not? Because they're pushing them out. Y'all ever wonder what happened to the PTA? Parent Teacher Association? They eased them out and brought this so-called LAC, those advisory committee was with the PTA. But the committee they got now, these committees, this very political committee that they don't give no power to, really. Local school council, they call them now. And they're not doing what they're supposed to do because they won't let them. These principals are saying, you can't go up in the schools about your children. You can't criticize the board. You can't do this. There's so much stuff going on. But you're sending your child to school every day, or you're somebody's child, or somebody you know, and they're not learning anything in school. They're not learning critical thinking. They're not learning math and science. And, you know, every school from the kindergarten up should have some kind of artistic or music class where you put on plays. And y'all do that when y'all was young? But there's a movement. Then you got the separate schools. Yep, the separate schools have different education. I got some articles, but there was some of what they was doing. I didn't bring them with me today. And they kind of, I had to pull them out before they was talking about all the money they got to spend on these people who came over here for school. How they got to do, because the war ended, all of them came over here and they got to have special classes. Most of these other folks, most of their money is going to special classes. Because English is not the first language anymore, it's your language. And English is supposed to be the primary language you're supposed to be learning, but everything is taught in their language, so they got to hire more people. And so they'll be around you speaking, and because they don't have to learn English anymore, because, you know, it's a lot of stuff going on. And my position is that they have a lot of different organizations that collectively meet. And if you know of any in our communities throughout the country that works together and have a convention or come together and work on black folks' issues, you tell me that they come together as a group. Because I was trying to think all night, who was the group? I know we have Steele on there with SCLC. We got Jess Ed Push. Now, those are two black organizations. The Urban League, even though it operates in the black community, is also, I think, is a Jewish organization out of New York. But I was trying to think of, and one of the things that happened to us, the reason I think we might have got called flat-footed, was because of most of our leadership came out of the church. And the ministers and stuff would meet and look at our dilemma or what we had to do, whether it was education, that's how they built schools, whether it was economics or what we had to do. That was our leadership, and I think that's why we didn't got flat-footed, because they're nothing like that anymore. Even most of our ministers are on different pages. They're scared to say God. They're scared to say Jesus. They're all on different pages, and so it's not all of them. Most of them are, but we had relied on that. When you had NEA saying they're going to, we're talking about no more, you can't say breastfeeding anymore. You got to say chest feeding. You can't say a mother, a birthing mother. You got to say a birthing people and all that kind of craziness that we are dealing with. I saw this crazy behind girl on TV on C-SPAN the other day. One of the senators was talking to her, and she got mad. He said, a man can't have no baby. He said, he can. I'm looking at this crazy woman was ringing her nose. She's a teacher looking crazy all at the ceiling. That's what we're dealing with, y'all. We're letting folks, whatever their sexual stuff is, bring it inside the school when it used to be outside. The school is for education. And now they're saying they're going to have to let illegals teach in our schools because they don't have enough teachers. They already got them in their teaching. They already, just I found out during the Ukraine, when Ukraine got bombed, a lot of Ukrainian people is over here teaching in our schools. That's how I learned that. But so we are somehow the only group in this country now that don't have no NGOs. We have not come together how to get our people to work. We can put together. We got enough folks to put together NGO. We can put together people for day labor and stuff like that. And that would take the rest of my programming expense because I was working on stuff like that. You know, I had a men's shelter, a woman's shelter, working on building housing, bringing people together who know stuff. How can we work on this? Bringing together black planners, bringing together folks from everywhere. Say, how can we do this? Folks tell me, we need to get a black bank. Well, international bank, I was working on that too. Your international bank. All that stuff. But it's like, can't no one person do this because then they come after you, which I don't care because I wasn't in there for other than what I was doing. But who's doing that? And we're the only one. When them folks come across that border, I don't know whether the Haitians or any of them are available. They put together some team to go get their people. Or they're falling planes that they're dropping all over the place with the fentanyl and everywhere. Whether or not they're there to pick their people up. But I did see a special where the man was fighting. He said, I don't want to go back to Haiti. They was putting them on a plane, taking them back to Haiti. But everybody else stay. There's a problem. There's something there. And then when you get to the diaspora, the Africans and all of the other black countries that's coming, I don't know how, whether the black churches are organized to grab them or what's going on with that. But and we have to go back to our God. We got to look at this local politics. Because one of the things they lied to you, they told you that the Supreme Court knocked out abortion, which is not true. And I heard some of my colleagues repeating that. They didn't say no more abortion. They said the right to abortion was not in the Constitution, and it's not. Take it back to the local. J.B. Pritzker told y'all in Chicago, y'all going to still have abortion. But that's a fight for you just go on and holler about when we have to stay constitutional. And if there's some in the Constitution we don't like, we need to do an amendment like Frederick Douglass did after the Emancipation Proclamation. They got the Constitution. We have to amend the Constitution, not only on the federal level, but on the state level, all kind of things. But you got to get in there, you got to work. You got to have a nucleus. And what people do to us, and I'm going to a break, and I'll come back and take some calls, they get up in our face, they tell us what they're going to do. Now, if you notice, they never tell you anything about economics, education. They never tell you what kind of what have they done to look at the education system in the black community. They don't do that. They tell you about crime. I don't got to stop the guns. That ain't nothing but a whistle call they talking about. And now, right to vote. Hey, show the ID. Let me see who the hell you are. Are you from this country? Who are you? Are you the person supposed to vote? If we hadn't been able to look at the poll sheets and look at who was right and who was wrong, Harold never would have got to be mayor, but that's a whole other story, how we used to have poll sheets and go knock folks off who shouldn't be on there. So they tell you all that stuff, but they don't discuss economics. Somebody say, Whole Foods done closed in Inglewood. Well, Whole Foods is owned by Amazon. They made a calculation that we ain't going to do that. Well, all this stuff I'm closing because of crime. So if all this stuff is hooked up, we got to have some serious conversation. Starbucks just said about 10 cities, they're closing their Starbucks. You go to a Walgreens in our community, everything locked up. You go to other communities, it's not. You got to get washing powder. You got to mash the button to get somebody to come give you washing powder. So we got to talk about some stuff if we to survive here, y'all. And we got to move from a position of love. And you got to be nationalistic about your people and your children like other people are doing, because there's another move afoot here, y'all. I'm telling you. You say, let these folks fool you about all these folks going to the Republican. Remember, blacks used to be Republican. Most of them had money made it. Now these folks are in it. We're going over there. Well, I don't care where you go, but we better make sure these people understand that we're here and we're a force, because they're making it look like we're not a force, that we're just stupid, and we're not stupid. Talk of Chicago, 69 of VN, our number 773-591-1690. We're streaming live at www.vn.com. And on iHeartRadio, take us wherever you go. On Facebook, group Facebook. We're not on Blog Talk this morning, but I will put this show on Blog Talk. We're on? Oh, okay, you got Ebony. We're on Blog Talk here. We all, y'all, we made it. Okay, my Ebony was up, gone to a sorority. Sigma Gamma Rho, my daughter's a Sigma Gamma Rho. They're having their little together. But anyway, get your coffee, get your tea. Come on back. I'm going to talk to y'all. You know, it's interesting. When you talk about seriousness and trying to figure out what to do and solve the problem, people there, they run away. But when you just want to talk about hating Trump or just talking about some garbage, they just all over the place. So come on back and let's talk to me. I don't want no baloney. Love you. Get your coffee, get your tea. This is your day to talk to me. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better, and kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor, because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing on a summer night. It's pajamas with feet and everybody over for Sunday dinner. And that old stuffed chair in the living room you just can't get rid of. This is why you work a second job. This is why you learn to fix things yourself so you can save on repairs. Because home is your place, your memories, your family sleeping in their own beds at night. And that is why we want to help. We are making Home Affordable, a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. And now even more options are available. Call 888-995-HOPE today. That's 888-995-HOPE. Or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Say it loud. We are back, Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON, Coffee, Tea, and a conversation with me, Dorothy Wright, Tillman, 773-591-1690. We're streaming live at www.wvon.com. I know the subject can be something for y'all, but it's a subject we must approach, and we got to figure out what to do here. We cannot just keep, we got to do it, y'all. Let me go to the phone, y'all. Let me see, y'all. I'm going to try to empty the phone bank before I get my 7 o'clock. So let me see what I can do here. I'm going to take as many calls as I can according to how y'all called. So if y'all got to wait after 7, don't get mad at me. I'm going according to the calls. Anita?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine.
That's good. My family taught me how to teach my children completely, you know, their moral development as well as their academic and social. So white community cannot teach our children. They do not have the sophistication to do that. And the African-American people that follow behind their social racist policies can't do it because they're going to teach you inferiority also. And that's something that we don't really look at, but black people that follow racist theories and think they're superior to them, they can't teach anyone, just like the white people can't teach anyone.
Well, Anita, we survived in this country because we believe in family. All these folks on this side, they believe in family, they believe in God, and they believe in this. We believe in all that, too, and education, economics. We got to get back to that. Thank you, Anita. Thank you so much. I'm trying to get all y'all in order that y'all called in now. And I'm trying to get y'all out here before my break. I'm going to try to take as many calls as possible. Maurice? Hello?
Hello?
Hi. How you doing, Maurice?
All right. I had agreed with you that the Congress should have been doing a hearing on reparations, and not that you said that. My opinion is they should have been doing a hearing on reparations. If we were going to deal with anything and got something of substance, because it's, you know, it's like...
Do you understand what reparation is, Maurice?
I don't. I think they should explain it.
Well, you're all over
there.
You're all over to 7 o'clock. I'm going to talk to you about reparation. You can hang up and listen, but I'm going to talk to you about it. Okay?
Well, can I say one more thing, Ms. Doc? Tim?
Yeah, I'm going to just try to get two more calls before I go off.
Yeah. The other thing was, it seems like every time Congress does things, they know how to, you know how you throw a ball, and the dog go fetch, but it's still in your hand. That's how they treat black folks.
Well, they're the Congress.
And then they go off.
And not only Congress, all our leadership, everybody's doing it to us right now.
But they did that with the voting rights. They threw it. It's just, they throw this stuff out there. they know it ain't gonna stick, but we go running down that rabbit hole.
Well, because don't you think people should have ID when they vote? They got us hollering about voting right, and we missing the other point.
Right. Uh-huh. Well, that's a joke. That's just a waste of time.
Well, you know what, I'll talk about repairing this damage on the other end. So you hang up. You hold on. I mean, you listen, okay?
All right.
Okay, Maurice. Thanks for calling. Ooh-wee. Trying to get you in the order you call. Minister Plump. 1, 2, 3, going once, going twice.
Well, on Yashalom. Yes, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you got a minute.
Okay. Plump Music Productions presents the Hal Washington Foundation, the peoplesmarch.com, Black Wall Street Music by Gregory Jones, every Sunday, 3515 South Cottage Grove, 230 to 430. And for more information, call Minister Plump at 312-671-2773.
Okay, thank you. I'm trying to get them all. Jacob?
Shalom and blessings. The reason why they do that to the Haitians is because they know the Haitians are the chosen people of Israel. We are that people of the book.
Well, the Haitians fall back. Haitians
anybody
fall
that's
back.
Illiterate.
Haitian folk. Then also.
The reason why they do that to the Haitians is because they know the chosen people of Israel. They know we are the people of the book. Anybody that goes into that book and cannot see that we are the people of the book, they're illiterate. And until we understand that, we ain't getting nowhere being black.
Okay.
Shalom.
Well, shalom, Maki. Okay, can I take one more call? Okay. Mama D.
I just called in. I was going to be on the other side.
You can't make a decision, Mama D. Come on, what you got to say? You got 2 minutes.
Do some research.
You got a minute.
Do some research on September 4th, 2001. When the United States and Israel walked out because the UN voted slavery a crime against humanity and recommended reparations for descendants and called Israel a racist state. And Colin Powell and them said that was hate speech and they walked out. Everybody is under the United Nations but us. And until we get the language straight, it's going to be that way. We've got to call ourselves crimes against humanity, descendants, and Jim Crow genocide survivors and get the language straight so we can have the United Nations on our side.
Okay. Thank you, Mama D. Thank you so much. Okay. Do I take another call or we finna go? Take one more? You know what, y'all? You got a minute, Maddie.
Yeah, Dorothy, I'm going to say this real quick. They had a good segment on TV
you
on
know
The
what?
View.
I got to go. You hold on because I got to go. She just told me.
Okay.
Okay. Talk of Chicago, 69WVN, number 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.wvn.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us where you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook, and we on Black Planet and everything else. And I tell you, and we are on Block Talk. Get your coffee, get your tea. Come back and talk to Dorothy Wright Tillman. Call for tea in the conversation with me, 773-591-1690. And we're streaming live, too. Come on back. I'll be right back, y'all. I'll be back in a few minutes. Y'all got to listen to this. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690.
2,000 people attended the visitation and funeral for Jalen Walker. The 25-year-old black man was fatally shot dozens of times by Akron police in an incident last month in Ohio. That incident is still under investigation by state agents. Family, friends, and members of the clergy spoke during the memorial service, including Bishop Timothy Clark, who told the assembled audience that death like Walker's should not be normalized and that people should not view his death by saying things like God needed a flower. Clark said Jalen Walker would be better with his family, alive and loving.
We must not try to act as if this is all right. This is not all right.
A moment of silence was held at the top store in Buffalo, New York, to remember the people who lost their lives in a mass shooting 2 months ago. On May 14th, Peyton Gendron allegedly opened fire at the Jefferson Avenue location, killing 10 black people and injuring 3 others in what prosecutors have called a racially motivated attack. He faces hate crime charges, and Attorney General Merrick Garland speaks on those charges.
We will be relentless in our efforts to combat hate crimes, to support the communities terrorized by them, and to hold accountable those who perpetrate them.
Gendron is behind bars and could spend the rest of his life in prison if convicted. The Food and Drug Administration authorized Novavax's COVID vaccine for adults. The vaccine will be given in two doses and administered 21 days apart. It will provide Americans with a protein-based alternative to shots from Pfizer and Moderna. The vaccine uses synthetic coronavirus proteins to teach the body's immune system to recognize bits of the virus. However, the decision will now go to the CDC and its advisory committee for recommendation on how the shots should be used.
The Black Information Network continues to remember and celebrate the life of Tanita Myers, our Vice President of News Operations, who recently passed away. Here's another tribute in her honor.
I met Tanita when I joined the Black Information Network during its launch 2 years ago, and we became fast friends. Her charm and charisma, only second to her kindness and genuine compassion. She was always interested in how others were feeling. She was a beacon of understanding, and her virtual door, well, it was always open. Preferred to chat by phone? She was more than happy to listen, really listen, with an open mind and heart. Tanita was one of those people who instantly made you feel like family. Asking about my children by name. Children. That was one of her favorite subjects. Talking about her darling son, she'd always say, I tell Brandon he'll only be my baby until he turns 99. Gentle, witty, gifted, smart, and industrious, Tanita. Ripples of your laughter ringing through my head. Timeless. I'll miss you forever, my friend.
I'm Alexandria Ikemoni with Ray Harris on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
I'd like to invite you to join me for the Borges Report for lively discussions about legal matters, politics, government, entertainment, and the topics that concern you and your life. Start your Sunday the Borges way with the Borges Report.
The Borges Report with Ernesto Borges, Sunday mornings at 9 on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
When news and information comes to you from every direction, the one source you can trust the most is the commentators. You want politics? You need Kimberly Ogoyen. You want to be updated on the latest women's issues? Check out Yolanda Joe. Carl West has business covered. And Abdul Hakim Shabazz comes at you from the right. Listen for a guest commentator every Friday. The Commentators, weekdays at 9:20, 5:20, and 11:03 p.m. Only on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Now with Xfinity, you'll get unlimited internet with gig speed and supersonic Wi-Fi. With a 2-year internet rate guarantee, no annual contract required, and no equipment fees. Talk about knock your socks off. Ooh, plus a free Flex 4K streaming box. It's like hitting the streaming jackpot. It's all just $50 a month when you add Xfinity Mobile. $50 a month. A price that's truly jaw-dropping.
Oh, literally.
The speed you need at a price you want. Value that's simply bananas. That's the new Xfinity Supersonic Bundle. It's kind of a big deal. Go to Xfinity.com/gig, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store to learn more.
Limited time offer. Restrictions apply. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. New gigabit internet customers only. Xfinity Mobile requires post-pay Xfinity internet. After 24 months, regular rates apply to all services and devices.
By 2060, there may be almost 14 million Americans with Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia, and about 4 times as many Black people with these conditions than there are now. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia are increasing in prevalence. Hi, this is Dana Devine, host of Equal Health, Equal Hope. This Saturday, we'll discuss how cognitive impairment and dementia increases the risk of disability, burden of illness, and cost. Saturdays at 11 a.m., listen to Equal Health, brought to you by Equal Hope. Everyone deserves the best possible health care.
The Chicago Transit Authority will host an in-person career fair for our full-time bus operator and bus mechanic positions on July 23rd. Join us to learn more about these positions, which offer great benefits, competitive starting hourly pay, and paid training for new hires. To register for the fair and start an application, visit transitchicago.com/careers today.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-881-4747. That's 1-800-881-4747. Or go to selectquote.com. That's 1-800-881-4747.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
The following message is brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
The inherent right to work is one of the elemental privileges of a free people. Endowed, as our nation is, with abundant physical resources, and inspired as it should be, with the high purpose to make those resources and opportunities available for the enjoyment of all, we approach this problem of re-employment with the real hope of finding a better answer than we have now.
Your stuff can be more powerful than you think. Your stuff can be a resource for change. Donate to Goodwill, where your donations help fund job placement and training for people in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
From the Xfinity Studios at WVON, it's Dorothy Tillman on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Don't need the road we travel.
difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me
doesn't
now.
Doesn't matter to me now.
Because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
Got some difficult days ahead. Not too Lord have mercy. I don't mind. I've got some difficult days, Dr. King said. People like to just push them in the background, but they're enjoying everything, all of the changes that we made and all the doors that we opened. They walked in and they're doing all that stuff, but yet they want to pretend that we didn't play a major role in breaking down through the Constitution, through our fight, what was going on with us. You know, it's like everybody hollered, oh, they talked a lot of stuff, but these same people are not enjoying all the things that was fought for them. And they just moving on rather than building. Dr. King said that where we go from here, community or chaos? You answer the question. Are we in chaos or are we in community? It's 7 o'clock where you, wherever you are in the state, in the city, in the country, in the world. And I know they listen to me somewhere everywhere. It's time to take a deep breath It's important to know who you are, because everybody who come here, they understand, they immediately set up community, the church, government, they take over government, church, government, school, and community, those what you need, and that's what they do. And we let folks and tricked us out of what we're supposed to be, and most folks who talking to you, they don't do nothing but on their own agenda and not on for black people. They're on the survival agenda. 7 o'clock. Take a deep breath, y'all. Black people, not all y'all. Some doing it not knowing any better. Take a deep breath, y'all. That feels so good because your heart and mind is what? Tell your brain, black, ain't nothing wrong being black. Black. One more time for the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Black. Is that black enough for you?
Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Tennysonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your man. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ha! But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, Yes, I'm black. I'm proud of it. I'm black and beautiful.
Yes, I'm black. I'm proud of it. I am black and I'm beautiful. It ain't no accident that they don't play those kind of stuff, those kind of things for you, for Dr. King. They want to make you understand and think you think some other things. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Nobody can take Dr. King's manhood. And when Dr. King talked about manhood until we got caught up with these other folks, we understood man and woman was one, that God made male, female. You know, that you, if you're a female, you got female and male. If you're a male, you got male, female. When we understood man meant the human being, the person. But we got caught up, you know, we got tricked. Do me right, I'm strong, I'm woman. Hear me? You know, I remember when we would end up, when the Feminine Mystique came out, and we had this, we was at a workshop. That was at Pleasant Valley Farm, and some of the Europeans on our staff, I think Patty Miller might have been one of the first ones, and they was talking about it. We kicked their butts, the black women on the staff. And because we had a very understanding about one of Mystique, you know, where they were going with it. And we talked to them really about who we were and how we were. See, we were really strong when we understood. We had other folks telling us and describing us. You know, you look at the success of black people in this country who built stuff. When you look at S.B. Fuller, who could barely read, didn't have that much education. And he had a brain, but he was smart. He was might not have had the traditional education, but he was smart enough and had it. He was intelligent. So look how that black woman stuck with him and how they put that stuff together. And that's how we had. I grew up in an environment in our time, and we got to give that back to our children. You know, if the man made a quarter and we made 75, you put it together. If you made a quarter and they made, it was always about the community. Even when the breakup came with family members, because I know my father and mother, when they divorced, we still was always a family. So that means I had two fathers, two mothers, my stepmother Doris and all. But it was the way the family was always a family structure and looking after the children. And that's what Dr. King was a little about, take your manhood. You know, we get caught up in the language. Like, now they got y'all scared to say he or she because they said it's the wrong pronoun. And this is where the, you know, so when Dr. King said, where do we go from here? Community? Chaos or community? The question is where we are now. It's 7 o'clock, y'all. And what I was trying to do was to really put some other kind of, you know, I talked about the algorithm out here about a few months ago. We have got to change it. It cannot be, because, you know, it's something about energy force, because God is energy too, that when you just got shooting and dummy and killing and no family, no this, no that. Put all that stuff in your head and you repeat it, then you don't look toward building community. We've done it under circumstances much worse than what we're in now. The difference is the divesting from the community is not just from other folks divesting, it's from our own people who divest, who have money. Our own people who Johnson and S.B. Fuller and all of them, they divest from our community. Those people who reap the education and political and economic benefit of the black community divest. I know y'all don't wonder, who would Oprah divest in our community? She didn't invest. Can you imagine what it would have been like if she had built schools or houses or took a whole strip? It would have brought other energy, Michael Jordan and all these folks who was not even respected as human beings until we fought. So people would use this black thing to make money. But then they would divest from us, and they move from us. And to talk about, it's easier to talk about systemic racism and the white man than it is to come back and say, okay, these people are out of order, so I'm going to come help build this school or build this hospital, you know, or help make these children, make sure we had Provident so that black folks can learn to be doctors, our nurses and stuff. You know, when we came in Chicago, the Black Medical Association, the medical association where folks don't understand, the doctors in there, especially the black ones, they treated Dr. King's staff free. We didn't see Dr. King didn't make no lot. Dr. King was not in the movement trying to make no lot of money. He was trying to liberate black people. And we really didn't. Down south, we made $10 every 2 weeks. the staff, field staff, not the secretary, because once the secretary had family, they might have made $100 or $75 every 2 weeks, not that much. And then when we came to Chicago, we got $20 every 2 weeks. Why? And that's how we get our personable. Why? That's all we got. Because everywhere we went, people took care of us. We had doctors. We had places to stay. We had freedom houses. You know, if I got the doctors that delivered all my babies, Dr. Rudolph Moraney, he delivered Jesse's babies too. He delivered some of them, but not all of them, because Junior and all of them was born, Jesse Junior and Jonathan, and this one was born. But anyway, Rudolph Moraney, who was he? He was a man that was a doctor that took care of all of Dr. King's staff free. He was going to college, him and Dr. Jones. They had an office right over there in Hyde Park on Woodlawn, right around the corner of before you got that Chase Bank over there where you got the other stuff. So we had dentists, we had doctors, we had people who took care of us. Whatever we went to, the funeral homes, the leaks and all of them. When we was in Cleveland, the House of Wheel, they took care of us. In Alabama, people put us up because we were fighting on behalf of black people. There was nobody sitting around saying, well, let me see, can I get this so I can become above everybody else? So we never did think about that. We wanted to be, we knew if we got the resources, we could rebuild. And why do we fight for the right to vote for representation, not just to have somebody? But people got in place and they said, oh, my God, let me do this. We came to Chicago with that silent six, wouldn't say nothing, couldn't do nothing. Then we opened it up. I can't do now. We got them ones back in there. They're back to being the silent six. So, you know, we don't, it's stuff is not being told. It's like the people who took care of us around this country is not known in the history, just like some of the ministers who was with Dr. King here who wasn't. The ministers in the South, most of them, 90% of them was with them. In Chicago, the ministers who helped Harold, you don't talk about that. We don't talk about Harold's people. We always let those reap the benefits move on. So that was kind of the difference, because we earnestly believed that if we change this country, and we fought with the Constitution, that we could change things. And that's what we did. And we got to get back. See, we're in a space now, kind of about outdo us. If we get rid of this hate and go back to our values and go back to and teach our children something, because they got value, they wouldn't be doing that. They said a child who go to church and have some form of spiritual upbringing will not do those kind of things. And we go back, because you got these kids thinking, you ain't got nothing. You second class and all the stuff, you ain't nothing. It's systemic racism, the white man hates you, the police hate you, everybody hates you, your mama hates you. You hate yourself, and you ain't going to live to be no more than 15, so just do what you want to do. Go kick in doors. If you thought it was a repercussion, you're not going to go down to be an animal. Act like that, and then I bring other folks in, they say nothing more. We have family values. We're building this, and we're doing that, and then you see the political arena slowly being taken over. In Detroit, Tlaib, I remember one time I was talking about this woman, this Arab who took John Conyers' place, and it was surprising because one of black people said, what's wrong with it? What you mean, what's wrong with it? Nancy Pelosi got rid of John Conyers. Like, they tried to get rid of Danny this time, but it didn't work. And they got rid of John Conyers, and they put Tlaib in there. You should look at Detroit. And so the girl who ran against Tlaib, black woman, British, very strong woman, was a city council member. The party, they got behind the other person, and they fooled people and elected this other woman. Black folks voted for them. They went to them senior building, got all the senior citizens to vote for them. I know some of them, but I said, y'all know Brenda's running. I already done voted, you know. And here Brenda was the one that was out in Detroit fighting for you to save Detroit, to make sure that black folks' houses were saved. You know, they was over with Joanne. But nope, y'all put Tlaib in. And all she talk about is Palestinian now and her grandmama over there and all that. And so nobody ran against her this time. They just gave up. And you just watch. And you have to look how they're drawing the map. They drew Danny's map in such a way that a lot of his strong support, they had wiped it. They redrew it out. So they thought they had him. to put someone in who think like them, who tell me something progressive, somebody who you should look at what they stand for, not family, God, and all the stuff we need. Regardless of how you feel, now I hope Danny get himself together now and get ready for 2 years. But Nancy oversaw that redrawing on the map. So we just kind of met, you know. We don't need, it's like we need a nanny. We need somebody, you know. One other thing before I go to the phone and get ready. Maurice called in about a reparation. I told him to, I wanted him to tell me what it was. He said he didn't know. He just knew the government needed to pay. And I just have stepped away from this stuff because we did extensive research repairing the damage. Reparation means repairing the damage. How do you repair damage of a community who built the community? Black labor, white wealth, as Dr. Anderson saying, who built a community and all the things that was passed down to us was poverty and richness to them. Also with the Freeman Bill, you know, I was fighting with Dr. Anderson. All they needed was one little line in the Freeman Bill. Oh, Joe Biden can do it now. Them Congress people ain't fight for that. Them black Congress people did not fight to put that one little line in it so those black Indian, black Freeman people could get the dial register, get their money that they're supposed to be getting. That's something they could do, but no, they can holler about, we want this and want it because they know how it is, repairing the damage. And I'm not saying that the government was not part of this slave enslavement, but these companies, J.P. Morgan Chase, all them folks, Lehman Brothers, the insurance company, you name it, they built their their businesses off of slavery. And so if they focus you just all on government, then you don't come after them. And that was one of the things that we did when we were when we passed that bill, and it was to develop, to gather all of this resources and these, to develop all this data so we could know who and what to go after, because it was so many more insurance companies than we even knew. We did a lot of research. It wasn't just mouth. They said the city council owe you reparation. That's red herring. That's why I don't say nothing. You have a right to that anyway because it's your tax dollars. You have a right to the so-called affirmative action. You have a right to it because you live in the city. You have a right to when the pie is broken up. Why you got to go and say, for me to get my contract, I got to call a reparation bull? It is baloney. So that's what we're talking about today. In case y'all have missed me this morning, I'm not going to go over everything I said. I talked about how we got to look at these other folks and how many, I'm not talking about your individuals. That's why we put together CBUC in Chicago to elect Harold Washington. I was one of the founding members, Chicago Black United Community, with Conrad Olivas and Lou Palmer, so that our organizations could stay within themselves. I was with the Parent Prison, Parent Equalizer. So all about Nancy Jefferson, Joe Banks, and all of us, Olamide, we all put together and we decided we were going to keep our organization but come under an umbrella of Chicago Black United Community. It was very brilliant. Georgia was very, that was Georgia's idea, Georgia Palmer. She was so brilliant. And that's how we did that. But the thing of it was that in Chicago we came together and was able to do that. I want to know in this country, and our organizations, like these folks have, that they're dealing with economics, they're doing other stuff. We have the template that other folks are using. They're using our template. They got, like this man said the other day, I don't know what race, I don't know what he was, Indian, Mexican, what he said. We are police officers. We're going to your service. We're in the service. We're servicing you. Own up your stores. We're doing this, that. We are part of American dream. That's why we came here. And anybody that see it and don't do it, that's on them. I mean, but all of our template. The firemen, I told you that I didn't really get into it. I might try to get Israel one day and just talk to him about it. He Winbush, how even now we're third in how many firemen in the fire department. We haven't looked at what people they have in government right now. And we can holler about the howling shooting, but look how all of them went. Look what happened over there. Tammy Duckworth, Prickster, all your senators went over to Durbin, their congressman, their mayor, they all went to shut that stuff down. If all of our elected officials, but they put all this stuff on Lori, and I'm not trying to sugarcoat her neither, but Lopez better go somewhere and sit down. just talk about violence. We more than violence. We want the economics like your community have. But where are the aldermen in these aldermen in these wards? Why aren't they walking? When the shooting happened in the white wards, them aldermen just out there and walk. You got your aldermen, your state rep, your state senator, the governor, the congressman, your U.S., all your federal things. Why aren't they all coming together other than just playing some games with us? They can shut this stuff down if they want to, but they playing games with us, and we allow them that. Now, one other thing before I go. Oh, you know, I read, and I forgot to tell y'all last week, that Mr. Taylor from Taylor Funeral Home passed. God rest his soul. My Masonic brother Taylor, he passed, and I forgot to tell y'all that last week. I want to congratulate the Sigma Gamma Rho sorority for 100 years. That's where my daughters and they're all Sigma Gamma Rho. So right now they're doing something. I don't know what they're doing. And happy birthday to my daughter-in-law, Demetrius. Condolence to the family of Sonny Burke. He co-wrote The Serpent Fire for Earth, Wind, and Fire. And he's a brother of Kirkland Burke. Okay, I done said all that, so I'm going to go get ready to go to the phone. It's really interesting. If you're not talking bad about Trump, or if you're not talking about hate, people just don't call in and say what we got. And as I told y'all earlier, I know we got SCLC, right? Southern Christian Leadership Conference. They on that agenda. I called Steele the other day. He on that same agenda of the price point. We got push. You got the Urban League, which is not a black organization. It was founded back in the, social organization come out of Detroit. But I'm saying, what are the black, how we have to come together. Folks, we don't need no leaders. Yes, you do. But the problem that the descendants of enslaved blacks have is that we've always looked to our church and our social service within our church and our business community within itself to be that nucleus. And that have gotten destroyed. They say, how do black folks stay strong? Well, this is what's going on. We got to destroy the young folks and destroy the nucleus. So we got to do something. Let me go to the phone. Sorry, Maddie. Thanks for holding for so long. How you doing?
Yeah, Dorothy, I'm not going to be on that long.
That's but I appreciate you've been holding a long time. Thank you.
You know what? I wanted to bring this attention to our black community. I saw a segment of The View on July 14th. Uh-huh. They showed about the black women are dying three times more than white women with these cesarean births. They're mm-hmm. pushing cesarean births. Mm-hmm. They said the midwives, if we went back to hiring midwives for births, it could be corrected because they're using midwives all over the world for birthing other than America. America have the highest birth death rate for mother and child than any other developing country, and black women are leading the list, dying three times more than white women.
Let me tell you something. Our midwife brought me Emma Tucker. She signed my birth certificate. But you know, my granddaughter, a midwife brought her in. And Stroja had a great midwife group, General Uchiku and all of them over there. They had a great, strong midwife team over at Stroja. And in the county peer, I think they disbanded it. That's why Jim Lita chose to have Dorothy at Stroja because of the strength of the midwife. Providence used to have a strong midwife group, Gail and all of them. I think Gail passed because my oldest granddaughter and her sister was midwife brought in. I got quite a few grandkids that midwife brought in from Stroger, but they disbanded that unit, you know, and you go to the doctor, they want to have the babies on their schedule.
Cesarean, yeah. They're making money.
Right, but mm-hmm. see, if we had that unit put together that I was talking about, Maddie, if we had that unit put together in terms of our community, those we could have all that stuff put together. We're so scattered. It's scattered out there. And everybody taking advantage of our children, our women. Who do you destroy? You destroy the women, get rid of the children. How many children are getting shot right now? Those who are not getting shot is killing them, fentanyl, and all kind of stuff. But we got to come together. I thank you for the information.
Yes.
But you're right. Our midwives are some. I had a lot of grandbabies who was born with midwives. Jennifer Uchiku was a very good midwife. She was at Stroger. She retired. And she's one of the ones that brought Dorothy Jean in. And Gail passed. And they was at Providence. Providence had a very strong pediatric unit over there with a lot of black women who were midwives. Most of these midwives were black women when they destroyed that unit. Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you. Ron.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Thanks for holding.
Yeah. I'm going to make some black people mad when I say this, but I find black people talk about reparations, but as soon as the black people get in office in Democratic positions, they push the legalization of weed before they push reparations.
Oh, this weed thing was so deep. Let me tell you something.
I find that black kids is smoking weed with their parents, and they under the influence. That's why you got all this chaos. They talk about guns, but they don't want to stop smoking weed with their kids. And too far as reparations concerned, we've been hollering reparations, but as soon as we get in office, look at Barack Obama, all them, they didn't push reparations. Reparation is just a hollering call just to get us to vote.
Well, let me tell you something about President Obama. We went up there with Dr. Anderson, Claude Anderson, with the Freedman Bill. Let me tell you this, Ron. We went up there with the Freedman Bill for the black freedmen. The black freedmen is really a whole other story that I talk about another day because it takes too long. Those who've been listening would know. And that's what for the black enslaved people that the Indian had enslaved, they're supposed to have so much. And they're part of Darrow. All we needed was one little line. Even Roland Burroughs was up there during that time because they had put him in. So I had Roland Burroughs, chief of staff, to talk to Dr. Anderson. And we asked Roland to sponsor. He said, no, he wouldn't do it. So then we went with Barack and none of them. We went to the Supreme Court. Maxine Waters went to the Supreme Court with us as we presented that stuff. But he could have signed that thing for the Freedman Bill. He didn't. The other thing, everybody hollered, we got a black woman in the Supreme Court. We tried to get Ann Williams and some other black women in that Supreme Court when he had a vacancy, but he didn't. He put a Hispanic in there. So, I mean, sometimes we just don't do what we're supposed to do here. Other thing about the weed is that I saw some doctors, and y'all should look that up. They said these folks think it's the weed that they smoke. So I don't believe in all that stuff. But they think it's the weed that they smoke doing the, like they did in the baby boomers off the tree, like herb. And so this stuff is different. So the stuff they got in this stuff, the THC and stuff, is messing with the cognitive of the brain, whether they smoke it, whether they eat it, whether they drink it.
Yeah, but I wanted to say that's why a lot of people can't get jobs, and they don't want to admit it. And as far as Donald Trump is concerned, by him not being a politician, I think he would have been more open to reparation talk than Joe Biden. And you know Nancy Pelosi now wasn't open to reparations. But the only thing you got to do is holler the boogeyman Republicans, and we go crazy and vote for Democrats and knew what the party stands for.
Thank you, Ron. I mean, we got to get away from party. My party is the black party, black people. What is best for black people? And that's what everybody's doing. That's what everybody does. You know, they know, you know, thing. Good morning, man, son. How you doing?
Hey, I'm still standing, Sister Tillman. How you doing?
I'm just fine. Glad to see you standing.
Hey, well, listen, I wanted to call in and give you and your audience sharper clarity. You know, as Kwame Ture would say, regarding this NGO piece, I think you said earlier that we didn't have any black NGOs. The fact is, we do.
What's your piece? Tell me the NGOs, the government operation that they got that they're taking.
Let me finish.
But tell me, but I want you to name some for me.
That's what I'm about to do.
Okay.
The December 12th movement out of New York with Attorney Wareham and Sister Viola Plummer. They've been on the case at the UN for a long time.
No, that's something different. That's something different. I know Plummet very well. That's something different.
They have an NGO. The December 12th movement is an NGO.
Okay. Who is it?
We also have the International Human Rights Association of American Minorities. That's Dr. Fareed Muhammad.
Okay.
Right out. He's retired now, but he was a professor at East West University downtown. And also that was Dr. Clay, who passed away, who worked with Malcolm X. That was the NGO, this International Human...
What are they doing? What are the NGO doing in terms of this country right here, right now, with the Haitians all I'm coming over here? Who are they placing them?
You can Google them and get all that information.
Tell me some of them.
The fact is that we've had that NGO since Malcolm X and Dr. Clyde.
Well, you know,
we also have a brother that went to De La Salle School right here in Chicago.
Okay.
He has an international NGO.
I didn't say international. See, that's what you switched.
I'm just telling you that was an international NGO, but it's an NGO nonetheless. UNIA, ACL, the Nation of Islam, Silas Muhammad's Lost Foundation.
Sorry, you can get upset. But I'm talking, I know the UNIA and all this. I'm not talking about the international. I'm talking about the NGO who have got these people in place. You got the Catholic Charity. You got all these folks. You got the Haitian people who are getting taken back, and nobody doing anything to bring them back. I know about the December 12th movement, and I know about the international human relations. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about right here in this country, right here, what's going on in America right now, how they set up their business. Right over there in little village, they done put together a distribution center to be a distribution for food and stuff. They got jobs. They got all this other stuff. I'm not talking. I'm talking about economics and education. You know, and I know about UNIA. I was part of the MIA. I'm talking about now, what are we doing? I talked about what we did in the past, how you had people moving, but what is going on now? That was the question. I love you dearly, man. So I think you just love to call in and do that. And you know that I know who these people are, but I don't think I need to spend my time going through this. I'm not going to argue with you over no stuff like that. I have a conversation with you, but it seemed like you came from an argument. The point of view, you know I love you, but you had to go. Lewis.
Good morning, Ms. Tillman.
Good morning. How you doing, Lewis?
I'm doing all right. I hope you're doing all right. And please don't get upset about it.
Oh, I'm not upset. I mean, don't bring me this international. I'm talking about what's going on right here, right now, to our people, our economics, education, and all of that.
And that's what we need to stay focused on. Okay, I heard you talking about the Freeman and how they took it to the Supreme Court and how they missed this one line. Ms. Tillman, did they file a lawsuit against the oil company?
No, I don't know. No, I don't think so. Let me tell you something. I'll call Dr. Anderson Ackerman. In fact, I'll call the attorney. No, I didn't say that they went. I said they needed one line from the government, from the government, just to sign one little line to include the Freedmen in there. And we couldn't get no black elected official up in Congress to sponsor that. We couldn't get our president to do it. But yet they give all this money to the Indians, the white Indians, and you have black Indians as part of the dial roll. I worked very hard on that, Lewis. But I don't think they went to the oil company or nothing like that. I will talk to Spire, the attorney, and I will ask them, and I'll have an answer for you next week.
Ms. Tillman, one more thing. Could you ask them what happened to the land that they were given? Tulsa was part of the land of the Treaty of 1866.
Well, Lewis, that's what they were fighting about, is the fact of that the Freeman Bill had to do with the Indians and their land and all of that. That was part of the suit. And all the stuff they were supposed to get. But I will talk to them and maybe get somebody back on to talk about it again, okay? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Tillman.
You're welcome. Troy.
Good morning, Dorothy. How are you?
I'm going to put you on hold till you clear, but I got too much static. I got static.
Okay.
Put you on hold. I'm going to go to Brian. Byron.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Tillman. Hey, at 6 o'clock, I was shocked, too, when I heard that introduction about what's going on with Joe Biden. I was listening to the
I was shocked
station.
It happened because I know that. Because it was on the Black Information Network. And now this is what I've been trying to tell people. And they say, you just a Republican. I said, no, I'm looking out for black people. Because right now, Byron, we're in trouble because we don't even understand what's happening with the food. And we're going to get caught with our food. Because you're not stocking up on beans and different stuff, we getting caught because we think the gas and it's just the gas in the tank. We don't think about all the other stuff that petroleum make. We're not having a really.
You know why, Ms. Tillman?
Why?
Because we are stuck on MSNBC and CNN. They're not giving us that information.
No, they're not.
They're stuck. I can name five things off the back of my head that Trump did, especially for black folks, if they wanted to. Now, Ms. Tillman, tell me, did black folks help elect Joe Biden to office?
Of course, one for them, they wouldn't have got in. You see what he did to...
Okay, but Ms. Tillman, no, when it comes to reparations now, why aren't that the first demand the black folks have of Joe Biden? You know why? Because they're weak. They don't care.
Well, Clyburn,
like a boogeyman.
Let me tell you about Clyburn, and I love Brother Clyburn. Yeah. Clyburn is the reason why Joe Biden got the nomination.
Right.
So when he got it, so Clyburn was on all the television, all of the networks before Joe Biden appointed a judge for the Supreme Court. Clyburn had a judge There's a black woman who's married to a Jamaican, a black doctor, Jamaican, and she went to HBCU. Claiborne thought that his person was going to get in. That's why you haven't seen him say too much lately. Biden didn't even
he's
get
hurt.
The...
He's hurt.
Yes, he's
hurt.
Hurt. And it's wrong what happened there. He was so sure because he could get this person. This person was an HBCU black graduate. Had,
right.
And she had a black husband from Jamaica. He was so proud. And he went on all these shows. And Joe Biden appointed somebody else.
Now he used him. He used him. See, they used the black folks.
Yeah.
And that's why Claiborne has his, he had his head between his tail now. Because he's been used. He realized he's been used.
Yeah, he's hurt. And Claiborne is a good person. He's hurt now. That's why you don't see him.
But he got used. He got used. And people don't see it. Mm-hmm. They don't see it. The black folks just don't see it. Let me tell you something, Miss Tillman. On this reparation, if you had a choice between reparations, the fictional, or jobs for the people right now, which one would you choose? Jobs for the people right now or reparations later on?
Well, what I'll do is I'll choose economics and jobs, and I would.
Of course you have to. That's what we need to focus on. And education. Those are the two things you talk about every week. Jobs and education.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't focus on those, we're doomed.
Well,
because the Hispanics are going over to the Republican Party, and the black folks don't realize it. Look at the polls. 80% of Hispanics now are switching over to Republicans.
But you know why?
Go ahead. The family.
Yeah,
family values.
But let me tell you what. They're here again. They're following the footsteps of black people. Black folks all used to be Republicans. Most black folks who had money, the Johnsons, Sinstax, Fuller, you name it, most of the Leakes, all of the folks around the country, anybody that's got an economic basis older, it was from that. They got economics. Well, the Democrats, who was the founders of the Ku Klux Klan and all that, they was for these little social programs to hold us, just play with us. And we start talking economics, they get upset with us. So what they saying is, stupid, we're going to go ahead and do this. While we got this, we're going to go get economic real quick. So we're going to rush in there and say, you need us. And then I saw someone on TV the other day, I felt so bad. That was yesterday or this morning, saying, well, all the stuff he doing, but he still got polling because of the black folks, and especially black women. They said black men have left.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my friends they're not voting for Biden and that socialism anymore. Who wants socialism, Ms. Tillman? We have been racially discriminated against all our life, but we have strived and done better for ourselves and our family. We can do it again. We stop thinking negatively and go up there and get it. That's what we need to do.
I don't think they understand that these people don't believe in God and by what socialism is all about. They don't understand how the country's coming down. And even with being with him, it's all right if you want to be with him, but go demand. Go get something. Don't just be there, just be in that nodding your head, say, look, this is what it is and this is what we want. That's what we need to be doing. Everybody else is saying that, and that's what we're supposed to say. And this is the first time in history we didn't say. Thank you so much, Byron. I tell you. Troy.
Dorothy?
Yes.
Good morning, sister.
Good morning, Troy.
Thank God for you. You are a beacon light. Listen, I listen to this thing, and I'm telling you, it's like a gag order in Washington where you cannot even say the word reparation.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the time of the emancipation when the president himself, Fillmore, had to fight to get emancipation done for the enslaved people in Washington, D.C. in 1862. Now we got a gag order again with our own elected official up there, and they won't even mention the word reparation.
Hey, you don't vote for me, you must not be black. You ain't black if you don't vote for me.
Can you believe that? Can you believe that? And also, I mean, it's just amazing to me how we got Claiborne, and I'm so disappointed. I'm hurt. Here's a man with all this power and Manson up there, one man, stopping everything whenever we want to. And we got all these black caucus members up there with our number way more than just one man. And if he said, I'm not going with this, ain't nothing happening.
Well, you got Garcia up there, just a few Latinas up there, and you got Vietnamese, and they're saying, we're going to do this, and we're going to bring we ain't going to say illegal aliens anymore. They're going to say immigrants and all other stuff. No, it's how you understand and perceive power. You know, some folks don't understand power, because what happens when a black show power, they come after them, and black folks, I ain't gonna give them my stuff for this. But now, Claiborne comes from a strong background. I think he thought he had some power to Joe. I thought that was a way of Joe Biden putting him in his place. But Claiborne had a right to pick that judge. You know, he had a right, but this man disrespected Claiborne when he didn't give him the
absolutely
judge.
Absolutely. Why would you still have an allegiance to somebody like that? You don't owe them nothing.
Well, I don't
they
know what you're... Hey, I ain't seen Claiborne in a little while, so I don't know if he have any more allegiance. Thank you, Troy. I haven't seen Claiborne in a little while. Because, you know, that was a black woman from HBCU with a black doctor, Jamaican husband. Reggie. Hello.
Hello,
Reggie.
Yes. Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Didn't last time you support Rahm for mayor?
Yes, I did.
Oh, can you explain why that, when he was so...
Oh, let me explain it real quick. Yes, I did. Not only in the general, not in the primary, because I was not going to go with Jesus Garcia. And I told y'all that we could not have Jesus Garcia as the mayor of this city who got naturalized in the late 70s. He was pushing that progressive mess, and it was only because I did not want him. I thought we would never get a black mayor if we got him in there. That's why. I hope y'all understood that. He was like, I wasn't going no progressive Jesus Garcia. I told y'all Garcia did not need to be mayor. And that was a general election. And I fought his butt. And even when Rahm got in, I kicked his butt all around. I wasn't playing with him. But it didn't matter. The question was, do you have a choice between Garcia, who's trying to make this, Laura did it too. And I thought we would never get a black mayor in place ever again if Garcia had got there. It was because of Garcia. And I told Jesus I was not going to support him. Gene. Hello? Hello?
Hey, Ms. Hatch.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Look, you've been coming down here for the longest. I got this package for you. You need to get down here to get it.
I'll come by there. You going to church tomorrow?
You coming when?
I don't know. You going to church tomorrow?
No, we're not having no church at my church.
Well, I'll talk to you tomorrow then.
We're on the YouTube or the phone.
Well, we got church, so after my church, I'll come by there.
Now, look, I'm looking for you tomorrow,
okay? Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
She know I like clip-on earrings, so she got me some clip-on earrings. Okay, y'all. Like Otis, how many minutes I got over there? I'm going to play just a little Otis stuff that we got to have for each other. I love all y'all, even if I disagree with y'all. It doesn't matter. My my disagreement don't mean I don't love y'all. It's just that I think I have to make sure that we stay on track here. And I'll give you a see where you got to go. But, you know, we got to have love for each other. Because if folks allow us, if we deal with everything in hate, God is love. About to say, look, love is, and even if we disagree, we gotta love each other. But we cannot allow folks to use us based off of hate. Let's do some critical thinking. Otis Clay said, come on, Otis Clay, tell him, Otis. We need love, y'all. God is love. Come on, Otis. Don't one of the greatest singers of time.
Send yours in right away.
Come on, Otis. Send your love in. Love to you, man, so. Hey, hate going around.
Breaking many hearts.
How many minutes is that song?
Stop it, please. Before
I got 4 minutes.
Too far. The force of evil plans.
Yeah.
To make you it possessed.
Do y'all hear that? That's a devil.
And it will let we lay.
Woo!
Destroy.
You know, Stevie Wonder did that song too, but I love Otis' song.
We all must pay.
I like Otis' version. I love Stevie too. Come on, Otis.
If love and peace we gender, then you'll hear me.
Woo! Oh! Love. Thank all of you who supported our fastest anniversary last week.
Right away.
Woo!
Hey,
hey, child, it's bad. It's going around. We'll stay till about maybe 10 seconds. Woo! Stop it, child, stop it. Before it's gone too far. It's already gone too far. Look at our children. That's what's our children, y'all. Don't you fall.
Our love today.
You need some love, y'all. I love you.
Don't delay.
You get love when you get God.
Right away.
Come on, Otis, tell them.
You see, hey.
Hey.
Going around.
Woo!
And it's bright. Time to break
Otis.
Our heart.
Yeah.
Stop it, please.
Yes.
Before.
Woo!
Don't you know that love?
Love
in me. Love in me, love today.
Let's deal with love, y'all.
Don't you delay.
Don't delay.
Don't you delay.
Woo! Okay.
Señor, send it right away.
Let's change the algorithm.
Send it right away. Don't you know that?
Hate's going around.
Woo! Hate's going around and it's
trying.
Trying to break our hearts. Oh, stop it, please.
Please stop it.
Stop it, please.
Change the rhythm.
It, please.
Come on.
Before it's gone too far. Oh, love.
Love.
Oh, love.
Oh, love.
Oh, love in need. Love stand in need of love today. Don't you delay.
Tell him, Otis.
Don't you delay.
Come on, y'all.
Why don't you, senor,
let's save our
right
babies,
away.
Y'all.
Right away.
Right away.
I know hate's going around.
Woo.
Hate's going around. And it's trying. And it's trying to break off.
Until next week.
Oh,
yeah, y'all. Come on, stop it, please.
Oh,
we got to start love, y'all. We need love, y'all. We need love, y'all. Until next week. Let's talk about it. Love. Until next week. Reparation. The great Otis Clay. Y'all can find it if y'all want to hear some more of him. Woo!
In this slavery industry is this nation's foundation of economy. What bothers me is the stripping of language, culture, and religion of African descendants with no restrictions.
The Talk of Chicago is 1690 WVON Berwyn, Chicago.
Walker had about 60 wounds on his body when he died. The video seen from police body cam. But the chief says Akron police cruisers have no dash cams. Some say it's time to bring them back.